took his arms from around her. Rising, he stood on the seat opposite to speak to the driver and ordered him to go swiftly to the British Consul's palace. The man repeated the address after him and nodded to say he understood. He went back to Delia. She was still crying and had covered her face with both hands. He took her in his arms and said to her softly, "It's all over, and no one will hurt you. That swine will never come near you ever again."
"But he will," Delia sobbed. "He will come back to England again. I know he will."
"By the time we reach England, it will be impossible for him to touch you. That I promise you, my darling." As he spoke, he felt her stiffen. She took her hands away from her face. The Marquis looked down at her, thinking that even with tears dappling her cheeks and trickling from her eyes, she looked indescribably lovely and ethereal. "That devil will never upset you again," promised the Marquis quietly. "And you have to trust me."
"But how can you stop him?"
The Marquis smiled. "I am going to stop him in such a way that you will never be frightened by him again."
"How can that be possible?"
she pleaded. "Because we are going to the Consul's palace now, to be married." Delia's blue eyes seemed to fill her whole face as she looked up at the Marquis and repeated almost beneath her breath,
"Married?"
"I love you," the Marquis breathed. "Do you really think I could lose you to any man, least of all someone as despicable as him? You are mine, Delia, and I will never lose you."
"I think I am dreaming,"
Delia murmured as if she was about to faint. But her eyes were shining, and he felt that no one could look more radiant or breathtakingly beautiful. "I love you," the Marquis continued, "and later on I will tell you how much. But the Consul's palace is not far away. In fact, we are almost there now." He drew a handkerchief from his pocket. He handed it to Delia, and she wiped her eyes. As she did so, they turned into a pair of large and stately gates. Ahead, as the Marquis remembered, was the palace he had visited some years ago when he had been in Cairo. He took his arms from around Delia as they passed the sentries at the gates, and they presented arms. Then, as they drew nearer to the large house set in an ornamental garden, Delia reached out for her hat. As she picked it up, she looked questioningly at the Marquis.
"You did say," she stuttered, "that you would not marry anyone."
"I have every intention of marrying you, Delia. And when we are alone and leaving Cairo as quickly as we can, I will tell you why." For a moment, their eyes, gazing into the others, said a great deal without any need for words. Then, as the carriage stopped, the Marquis stepped out first. As Delia followed him, an Englishman appeared at the door, and the Marquis ran up the steps towards him. "I am the Marquis of Harlington, and I wish to see the Consul immediately. It is vitally important." "I am sure that he will be delighted to see you, my lord," replied the Englishman. The Marquis hesitated, and then he added, "The lady accompanying me has suffered rather a traumatic experience, and I would be grateful if she could go somewhere to tidy herself while I speak to the Consul. I am sure that Mrs. Rogers would be delighted to look after her." Then, as they moved into the hall, an aide-de-camp appeared and bowed to them. The Englishman they had met first said, "The lady is accompanying Lord Harlington, whom I am taking to His Excellency's office. Would you be very kind and take her to Mrs. Rogers, so she can tidy herself?" Delia looked in a desperate way at the Marquis, as if she was afraid to leave him. "I will not be gone long, Delia, and I am sure you would like to tidy your hair." Delia suddenly remembered that her hair was loose and that she should still be looking only 15. She understood what the Marquis was implying and turned away to follow the aide-de-camp. The Englishman opened the door on their left and announced the Marquis's name. The Marquis found it was the office of Mr. Edward Rogers, the British Consul, and he rose from his desk and held out his hand.
"You wrote to me, my lord, asking me to arrange a meeting for you with the Khedive yesterday morning."